Johnny presents The Philip Morris Playhouse, produced, edited, and directed by William Spear. Tonight's star, Marlena Dietrich. Marlena Dietrich as star, we bring you The Lady from the Sea, tonight's production in the Philip Morris Playhouse.
When I woke up that morning, I was frightened. I had been dreaming that there was a shadow over me. It was large and black and of strangely shaped. I could not think what made such a shadow. Then I remembered what it was, and I started to run. It was the shadow of a ship.
Lily, what is it? It scared the living jelly out of her body. What is it, dearie?
It was a dream.
Oh.
It's all right, Mrs. Maloney. I had a bad dream. Woke me up.
Well, now, go back to sleep for a bit. It's not 9 yet. You need your rest, and Mr. Taggart's taking you to an interview.
Did he say today?
The script just arrived. He wants you to read it this morning before you go out to Hemisphere Studio to meet the producer.
I forgot it was today.
Now, I'll put on the nightlight in your dressing room, fix the door so there's a sliver of light, then you won't be scared again and you can go back to sleep.
No, I'm not going back to sleep.
Now, Miss Lily, you lie there and think and get cross, and that brings out the little lines on your forehead. And you want to look your best.
Stop it. Don't fuss over me. Bring me some coffee, please, and the morning papers. All of them, in hurry. I wasn't thinking then about the dream. I wanted to see if my name was in the column. But on the front page was a photograph. The picture of a ship with big black letters across the hull. The Lady from the Sea. Ultra free, built like a ship at the end of Paradise Pier, sold for movie sets. They were meeting place of Hollywood stars in the day of silent film. Will be background for thriller based on sensational Craig Douglas killing, which shook movie colony in 1929. Hemisphere will produce murder picture.
Mrs. Maloney?
Yes, yes,
that script here?
Yes.
Give it to me.
Well, it isn't the whole script. There's only 8
pages. Give it to me.
Oh, well, now you're supposed to read the part of Norma.
Norma?
Yes. She's killed. The wife. Oh, it's a lovely title for a picture now, isn't it?
The Lady from the Sea. A story about a murder set on the Lady from the Sea. About a woman named Norma who was killed there. It couldn't be the true story, I told myself. Nobody knew the true story except Craig and me. But I was to read the part of Norma. And I was now the same age Norma had been then. I started to read. Stayed in tied to Hollywood 29. There's a spec by a series of shots establishing the period. Theodore Marquise, Janet Gaynor, and Charles Perrell in Seventh Heaven. Emiliani's in The Last Command, so on. Over the montage, a jingly rendition of When Francis Dances With Me. As the title fades from the screen, we dissolve to long shot Paradise Pier Night. In the foreground, the penny arcade from which the music we hear is coming. Two lovers, Doug and Grateful, are walking past the arcade arm in arm. The camera moves in medium close and trucks with them. But the two lovers were really Craig and Lily. Craig and me. That spring, we had dinner nearly every night at the Lady from the Sea. And we walked so many nights on the pier, arm in arm.
A penny here, a penny a shot, a penny a roll.
Come on, sweetheart. Let's squander a penny in the fortune machine, huh?
We already know our fortune.
Yes, we're going to live happily ever after.
Not that Norma has her way.
Forget about Norma. Listen to this. I have a warm and loving nature, but I'm also practical. Now, how do they know?
It's obvious. Now, mine.
Go on, read it.
You have high ideals, but are much too impetuous.
And a good thing, too. Come on, darling, let's take a walk. Clear to the end of the pier.
First, I want to see the pictures slip over in the movie machine.
Charlie, come look at Charlie's eyes. What is he doing?
A lady standing behind the blind as naked as Eve.
Go on, pass it. Oh, look, there's Greg Douglas.
Where? Yes, sir.
Oh, now we're in for it. Come on, Lily, let's run.
Oh, coward. I wouldn't have run.
I don't want people gossiping about you and me. So far, we've kept you out of the papers.
Maybe I want to be in the papers.
As an actress, yes. Or as my wife. Not like this. Oh, Lily, someday you'll play the lady from the sea, the Ibsen. What is it now? Oh, yes. He took from his pocket a key ring.
He took from his pocket a key ring and drew a ring that he always wore from his finger. And he took a small ring he had. It was too he put on the key ring.
And then he said we would wed ourselves to the sea.
That's the only kind of wedding we'll ever have. Norma will never...
She'll give me a divorce. Just be patient, darling. Don't worry about Norma. Just leave everything to me.
Except for the name, it was all there in the script, word for word. And there were other scenes I remembered, word for word. The scene when the young actress called Rachel in the script, who was really me, was her first big part in the picture. And the scene when the crew on the picture presented the actress with an onyx-handled paper knife. There was a gold plate on the side, engraved with her name and the name of the picture. When you pressed the plate, the thin tapered blade of Swedish steel sprang out. How well I remember that knife. It was the very evening that knife had been presented to me that we met to talk about the divorce, Craig and Norma and I, in the little deck house aboard the Lady from the Sea. Then Craig was called down to the dining salon, and when Norma and I were alone, she turned on me.
You could talk until doomsday, but I'm not going to divorce Craig, ever.
Then he'll have to divorce you. I'm sure he has grounds for divorce, Norma.
Possibly. Before I see him marrying a conniving, greedy would-be like you, I'll...
Yes? Go on. What will you do?
I'll kill you. I'll kill you.
Stay where you are, Norma. I warn you, don't touch me. Don't!
I'll fix that beautiful face so you'll never want to look at it again.
I told you!
Not to touch me.
Somehow, I had a knife in my hand. The little onyx-handled knife. And when Norma came at me, I pressed the gold plate and the thin blade had sprung out. And somehow, I can't imagine, but... I had buried it deep in Norma's throat. She turned and looked at me, only a second, with a kind of surprise. Then she fell. And there was blood dripping into her hair. And suddenly, Craig was there.
I thought I heard... Oh, Lily, what have you done? What have you done?
She said she'd kill me.
Oh, my darling. Oh, get out of here, quickly, without being seen. Get out of here.
What are you doing?
This knife has your name on it. I have to get rid of it.
How?
Throw it into the sea. Get home, darling, and stay there. After I throw away the knife, I'll have to phone the police.
No, Craig, they'll say you did it.
Leave that to me. As long as they don't find out that you... It would ruin you.
I won't let you do it.
You will. Lily, do you think I care what happens to me as long as you're safe? I don't care if I have to go to prison to make certain you're safe. And you're going to wait for me.
I was shaking. I was reading all this in the picture script. The script for a picture that was going into production today. After all my troubles and waiting for the opportunity for a comeback, they were offering me a picture in which I would reenact this murder for my own life. Craig had written it. And he said, love me.
Dietrich in Act Two of The Lady from the Sea, tonight's production in the Philip Morris Playhouse.
It was all in that script, scene for scene, word for word, as only he and I knew what had happened. But I didn't need a script to remember Craig Squire, to remember how he confessed that he killed Norma. He said that during a quarrel, she struck him and he lost his head. No premeditation. She was known to be a hellion and a bad drinker. His lawyers based his whole defense on that one point.
I didn't mean to kill her. God is my witness. I lost my head.
But the prosecution based its case for premeditation. For murder in the first degree. On the disappearance of the murder weapon.
And what was the weapon, Mr. Duggan?
I've told you it was an ice pick.
An ice pick?
Yes.
And what happened to that ice pick?
I don't know.
I think I can suggest what happened to it. I think that coolly, cold-bloodedly, you pulled the weapon out of your dead wife's throat and disposed of it according to plan. Threw it into the sea.
But Craig won. You can call it a victory. The jury brought in a verdict for murder in the second degree. The sentence was 20 years. And that same evening, after the verdict, I saw Craig. He sat for a long time quietly. I had my face in my hands.
Oh, don't cry, darling. Our time's almost up. And you're not to come here again.
I won't see you again.
Well, we've been lucky to keep your name out of this up till now. I don't want to take any more chances. But I'll write to my lawyer, and you'll write to me.
I'll be old by the time you come back.
You'll be a great actress by then, and that'll make you happy. That's worth the 20 years to me.
Oh, Craig. But what if you're wrong? What if you gave up your freedom for nothing? And it was for nothing. Because that year, sound came to motion pictures, and heads rolled. Mine among them. All of us went. Unless you were already a big name, already on top. I wasn't. It had been a long, slow grind to get within sight of the top. It was a fast ride down. Way down. So I didn't write to Craig at first because I was ashamed. Later, I didn't write because, well, it was something I wanted to forget. But I didn't forget what he had said about my future as an actress. It took years of waiting, scheming, before I had my first real break, singing in a New York club. In a small way, I had a success that got me back to the coast. I opened in a club on the Strip, and the papers were full of the comeback of Lily Dawn. Then I came home one night. I was staying at the Garden of Olives.
Hello, Lily.
He pushed right into Lily. I couldn't stop him.
I knew she'd be glad to see an old friend after 20 years.
Please leave, Mrs. Maloney.
If you say so. But I'll be right in my room if you need me.
What do you want?
You, Lily. I still want you.
Now, don't let's talk like idiots, Craig. That's all over.
Yes. It was all over for you rather quickly, wasn't it? Just a matter of hours after I was in prison.
Now, Craig, you don't...
You found it difficult to write to him. Is that it, Lily?
Yes, exactly.
I got to writing the last 5 years. I've written something quite remarkable. A story that ought to be front page news.
I wish I had something for you, Craig. Some money, but I haven't anything.
Well, from the newspapers, I thought you were doing all right. Not as well as I predicted, but still.
I spend every cent I make. You know this business. They 10% me to death. My agent, my business manager, the press agent. I can't even pay my taxes.
Isn't that tough?
I'm gambling everything to get a part in a picture.
But for an old, old friend, Lily.
Why should I? I don't owe you anything.
Well, let's put it that I loaned you 20 years to pay off a very pressing debt.
Let's put it that you gave me 20 years. You don't have any claim on me. And there isn't any way you can connect me with...
With... murder, Lily?
You haven't got anything that will implicate me.
No, Lily. I wouldn't be too sure. Good night, Lily.
What did Craig do? The knife was gone. He'd thrown it into the sea. And he'd been so careful to keep my name out of the case. Almost no one knew that I had even known Craig. But now my agent had sent a script, The Lady from the Sea, an unfinished script, only 80 pages. But word for word, scene for scene, it was the story of Craig and Norma and me. And I was to play the part of Norma.
What do you want, the lead or Lily? You gotta face facts.
I won't play it, Taggart.
It's a small part, I grant you. Lily, and you're killed halfway through the picture, but believe me, honey, there's an Academy Award in it for supporting actress, and you can do it.
I'm telling you, it's not because the part is small. I just don't like it.
But it was written for you special. The author, he told me so himself. Oh, you know Craig Douglas, the guy that did time for bumping off his own wife. He said you were the only actress in town who could do justice to the part in Norma.
I won't do it. How many times do I have to tell you?
Okay. Have it your own way. But before I tell the producer it's no soap, do me one favor.
What?
Craig Douglas told me he thought you might turn it down. I told him he was off his nut. He's a mysterious...
And what did he say?
Well, he said you should talk to him before you threw the part away. He said he could give you at least one good reason why not playing the part would be professional suicide for you. Curtains.
So I took a cab to 620 North Corona Drive, Beverly Hills. Between selling the script and The Lady from the Sea, Craig was doing very well indeed. He was living in a garden apartment by the pool, number 18.
Oh, come in, Lily. Come to talk story?
I read your script.
And you didn't like it, huh? Sit down, Lily. I'm sorry. That part was tailored for you.
What did you want to tell me?
Well, I thought technically you might give me a few pointers on the stabbing scene. How both of the women would feel.
I didn't come here for jokes. What do you want?
I want you to take that part, Lily. And I thought you might, after I discussed the script with you. Especially certain scenes that are missing.
I know the script wasn't finished.
Oh, I don't mean the end of the script. The ending depends on what I do with certain other missing scenes.
What scenes?
Here, I'll show you. Now, on page 70, if you remember, Doug has run up to the deck house, found his wife dead, and has taken the knife out of her throat. Holding the knife, he talks to the actress he loves. His last line in the scene is, you're going to be a great actress. If I have to go to prison to make certain you are, then you're going to wait for me. Then the actress exits, as you see here. The script reads, scenes 143 to 156, not yet written.
What does it mean?
Not yet written means not yet written. I haven't quite decided how to handle those scenes. They're the scenes showing how Doug disposes of the knife.
You threw it into the sea.
Well, there are several possibilities. That's the obvious one. And it is credible. You believed it, didn't you, Lily?
You did throw it into the sea.
Or I could have Doug hide the knife somewhere on that ship. Somewhere on the Lady from the Sea. As a kind of guarantee that the actress he loved would wait for him.
There's no place to hide it.
Only one sure place.
The police went over that ship with a fine-tooth comb. There wasn't an inch they missed.
Well, they were thorough. I would say they missed about 6 cubic inches.
You didn't hide it. I don't believe you.
You can see how these missing scenes affect the end of the story. Naturally, the part of Norma doesn't go to the end. It finishes rather abruptly on page 80. But if you're curious about the rest...
You didn't hide the knife. You threw it into the sea. You told me.
If you play the part of Norma, then you'll find out if I told the truth.
Taggart told the producer that day that I would play the part. If the knife was still there somewhere on the Lady from the Sea, I had to find it before anyone else could. It had my name on it. Norma's blood. Maybe they couldn't prove anything with it after 20 years. They couldn't prove murder. But it would be in all the papers, and it would be curtains on all my hopes for a career. I had 10 days shooting altogether on the part of Norma, and all my scenes were to be shot on location. Actually aboard the Lady from the Sea. But I couldn't search the ship because Craig was always there. Not only because he was the writer, he was acting a small part in the picture, too. So every morning when I reported to the set, Craig was there. He watched me every second, every day. And when I left at night, Craig was still there, still watching. Then it was my last day, and Craig still had not written the missing scene. My last scene was a scene in the deckhouse, where Norma is murdered by Grateful, as she is called in the script.
All right, we'll need it again. Honey, same thing, and play it quiet this time.
All right, Mr. Lundberg, I'll try.
I don't feel you're holding it in enough. You're sore at Norma, but you're holding it in. And you're a cook who knows how to keep your feelings to yourself, you understand?
I think I do.
Miss Dawn, you were great on the run through just before lunch. I want it just the same way.
All right, Mr. Lundberg, but it's... aren't we going to have the knife? I can't act very afraid of her if she doesn't have the knife.
Perhaps
you...
where's that knife?
Right here when we broke for lunch, Mr. Lundberg.
All right, get it. Meantime, Lily, let's go through it again, huh? All right. Quiet, please. Start whenever you're ready.
You can talk till doomsday, but I'm not going to divorce Doug, ever.
Then he'll have to divorce you. I'm sure he has grounds for divorce, Norma.
Possibly. But before I see him marrying a conniving, greedy would-be like you, I'll...
You'll what?
I'll kill you. I'll...
Cut. Miss Dawn, I'm giving the same reading you did before. It's wishy-washy, like you don't believe what you're saying.
I'm sorry if we had that knife.
Hello, boys and girls, and Mr. Lundberg. Your suspense is over. I have brought you the missing scene.
Oh, Craig, let me see.
Oh, it's time. We shoot those tomorrow.
Here you are. And a copy for you, Miss Dawn. Oh, I forgot. Your part doesn't include these scenes.
Give them to me.
Oh, he hides the knife. I was sure he'd throw it overboard.
Hides it where?
Read there. Doug comes out of deckhouse, looks quickly around to see if anyone's near, then he steps swiftly to the figurehead of the ship.
What figure? Oh, that woman right there on the front of the ship?
Yes, on the prow. They always had them on old sailing ships. A figure carved right out of the ship itself.
Doug hides it in the figurehead?
Don't you see how the wood is cracked open? The storms did that. He puts the knife deep in the crack. See? The insert shot. Doug's hand inserts knife.
Trust me. He had hidden the knife in the figurehead 20 years ago in that very place. And all those years when I had forgotten him, he hadn't forgotten. He planned his revenge step by step. The script, selling the lady for a movie set, planned it to this day. The actor playing Doug would walk across the deck to put the knife in its hiding place. He'd reach deep into the cavity where the wood had rotted away. And he'd find another knife already there. The one with my name engraved on it.
Right after the stabbing scene.
Yeah.
Miss Dawn, what are you looking for?
She's checking to see if you really could hide a knife in that thing.
Ingenious, isn't it, Miss Dawn? The minute I saw it, I thought it was a great hiding place.
Yes. The only sure hiding place on the ship, Craig.
Find anything, Miss Dawn?
Yes. I did find something.
Oh, the knife. Now, who could have put it there? Does it fit your hand comfortably, Miss Dawn? Do you think you'd be able to kill somebody with it? Act the part in the picture, I mean.
Stop it, Craig. Stop it.
You look quite terrifying this way with that knife. Maybe you're playing the wrong part. Maybe you should be the murderess.
Stop it, Craig. Keep it away from me.
Oh, don't lose your head, Lily. This isn't... Give me that.
No! You put it there, didn't you?
Yes, but I... Lily! Oh, this wasn't... Lily, I only...
Grabbers! She's killed him!
Somebody call the police!
I won't try to get away. I killed him, and I don't care what I have to pay. I don't care now if you'll find my name on that knife.
Your name?
Go ahead, look at it! The crew gave it to me when I was in the unforeseen. It was my first big part. Look at it! The gold plate says Lily Dawn.
Oh, it says nothing. This is just a knife. We had it made up for the picture.
That's all it was.
No.
You're not on any knife. It's sure not on this one.
It's on the other one. The one Craig threw into the sea. He said we would wed ourselves to the sea.
Tonight, the Philip Morris Playhouse presented The Lady from the Sea, produced, edited, and directed by William Spear. Our star, Marlena Dietrich, will be back in a moment for a curtain call.
You know, Miss Dietrich, this is the first Friday since the beginning of our Philip Morris Playhouse that I thought would never end.
Why, Johnny, what an unflattering thing to say.
Oh, what I mean is that ever since rehearsal at 1:30 this afternoon, the ushers have been neglecting to direct people to their respective destinations. The sound men have forgotten to load their revolvers, and every man on the cast has missed his cues, all because of your glamorous presence.
Well, thank you very much, Johnny. I enjoyed every minute of it. What is on the program for next Friday night?
Next Friday, we're going from glamour to the great Gildersleeve, who deserts comedy for menace. But before you go, may I present you with this carton of Philip Morris cigarettes as our thanks for your exciting performance.
Thank you very much, Johnny. Good night.
Good night, Miss Dietrich. This is Johnny again, reminding you, if you're tired of cigarette hangover, call for the one cigarette that gives you a milder, fresher, cleaner smoke. Yes. Call for Philip Morris.
And now, goodbye, Johnny. See you next Friday, same time, same station, when once again we will present the Philip Morris Playhouse, starring Hal Perry, the great Gildersleeve. Until then...